Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Grant. Trust Grant for innovative and sustainable home heating solutions to future-proof your home. Visit grant.ie.
Mostly cloudy with patches of mist and fog this morning, staying largely dry for the day with occasional sunny spells, highest temperatures of 15 to 19 degrees with a light northwesterly breeze. And that's all from the newsroom until 11 o'clock.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, the people who look after the most vulnerable and marginalised tell us about life on the front line. Find out how allowing your child to take risks might be the best thing for them. John Cook has been taking a look at new fresh milk vending machines. And as Katie Taylor gets ready for her big homecoming fight this weekend, we'll speak to Deirdre Gogarty, the trailblazing Irish boxer who Katie wrote to at the tender age of 11. Also from the blockade at the asylum centre in County Clare, to plans to cut parking for the public sector. The Friday gathering will debate the news that made the headlines this week. Text us on 51551 or you can email the programme todaycb@rte.ie. First this morning, Gardaí have confirmed that they're investigating Monday's attack on a teenage boy in Navan as a hate crime. The video of that attack has been widely circulated. It hasn't been removed from social media. Ciara O'Brien, technology journalist with the Irish Times, is on the line, along with clinical child psychologist Dr. David Coleman. And David, I want to speak to you first about the boy who was the victim of this attack. We don't know for sure what the motivation was. We know it's being investigated by the Gardaí as a hate crime. What do you believe should be and needs to be done to help him deal with what's happened?
Goodness, yeah. Good morning, Claire. I mean, I suppose the key thing really is just to show a huge amount of warmth, empathy and understanding to him, and maybe avoid rushing in to try and fix the problem, because we don't necessarily know, or his family don't necessarily know exactly how he feels about what has happened to him. And that's the first stage, is just to begin to explore that. And then depending on the impact of it on him, it may be the case that his family can continue to support him and that will be enough. Or it may be the case that he might need extra additional support, whether that be through perhaps the guidance counsellors within the school or even other therapists or counsellors.
There's been a lot of conversations in homes all over the country. We know this since this happened, about that video, about the sharing of it, about the reaction of your own child if you were in that situation, either if you were the victim of an attack like this or if you were someone who witnessed it. What do you think parents should be saying to their children about all of this?
Yeah, well, I suppose this particular attack was you know, really horrific in as much as there were so many young people who seemed to all pile in and continue the attack on that one young person. And I guess, you know, in other situations, perhaps, you know, if we're talking to our kids about somebody who might try and hit them or kick them or trip them or any of that kind of what we might consider physical bullying or the precursor to physical bullying, we'd certainly, I'd always be suggesting that we give our kids permission to hit back. I think they need to feel that they are allowed to respond to an aggressive or violent attack by trying to react appropriately, or, you know, similarly. And I guess that's difficult in some situations, because, you know, children will often freeze or they just won't feel able to react. And that's okay. But I think if we don't give them permission that it's actually okay to defend yourself, then that leaves them, I think, at a little bit of a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Because not everyone, as you say, will be able to fight back.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for some young people, they just don't want to or feel able to, and then in other situations, they just won't have a physical opportunity to, because, you know, I mean, that young person would be a very typical example, you know, where if you have a group like that, there's nothing he could have done to have stopped or changed anything about what happened to him, because it was, from his perspective, so unexpected, and he was, you know, completely unprepared, even if he wanted to. Try and fight back. There was probably no way that he could have in that situation. But I guess it's the principle. I mean, we don't want our kids to go out there being aggressors. We don't want them to think that violence is the answer to, you know, somebody slighting you or mocking you or jeering you. But I think if somebody's going to try to physically attack you, then I think it is okay to feel like at least you have the option to physically fight back.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Minister for Education this morning addressing this issue of the sharing of the video, this just seems to be a runaway train at this stage. It's been shared millions of times. It hasn't been taken down from social media platforms. And I'll talk to Ciara O'Brien about that in a moment. But that compounds, does it, the impact of what happened on the victim?
Potentially, of course. And again, there's no telling exactly what impact it's going to have. But you could imagine in other circumstances, if that video has just been shared, say, amongst a small group, and that group were then using that video as a further way to try to mock somebody or to demean somebody or to humiliate them, it probably would be really, really difficult. I think in some ways, maybe the fact that this has become so public might actually be probably better, because I think what it's done is brought up a huge amount of public support and an upswelling of goodwill towards the young man at the centre of it. And I think that's going to be supportive for him and for his family, that so many people are condemning what's happened. And then the other good thing, you know, if you want to look at any kind of a positive upside to the fact that it was videoed, is that, again, those who perpetrated it are now identifiable. And so that means then that there can be some kind of follow-up and so something can be done about what has happened as well.
Yeah, and the school obviously is dealing with this, and the minister spoke about that this morning, saying that it has its own disciplinary procedures underway alongside the Garda investigation. How do you think the school should deal with this?
Yeah, I think that's the appropriate way. So I would expect every school has a behaviour policy, and if what happened was part of a broader bullying issue, then there'll be an anti-bullying policy as well. And so I think that, you know, the reason that schools have those policies is so that there is a clear structure for dealing with any kind of incidents that occur. And you'd like to think that that's exactly what the school are going to do, is follow their policies, which hopefully the families will also be aware of. And so it's very clear then, you know, what the school need to do, and if there are any sanctions that they intend to impose, you know, they'll be clearly laid down as well. And So I think that just in some ways almost makes it easier for schools. That's why those kind of policies are there.
David, thank you very much. David Coleman there, clinical child psychologist, and Ciara O'Brien, technology and business journalist at the Irish Times, is with us as well. So Ciara, there have been many calls for the video of this to be removed from all platforms. How difficult is that to happen now, and is it realistic at this stage, given that it has been shared so many times?
I think, yeah, it's quite difficult to take something down once it's gone online. It's basically there forever in different forms. And look, the platforms could go out and take this down. They can have marked the video so that if it's re-uploaded in that form again, that it wouldn't be allowed to be uploaded. It wouldn't get onto the platform. But the problem is that people will do all sorts of things to get around the rules. They will edit a video. They will speed it up. They'll slow it down. They can do stuff like screen capturing. So we saw this happen multiple times when there was terrorist attacks, where people live streamed the actual attack. And when the original videos were taken down, because they were distressing, they did depict violence. They showed people being murdered. What people did was they re-uploaded different versions of it. So they may have shown themselves watching and kind of commentating on it. And it was just different enough that it escapes the automatic kind of content blockers. And then it's depending on people reporting the video or moderators picking it up. And the thing is, like, it's actually very difficult to break the rules, unless it's something like, you know, shooting somebody, you know, that kind of graphic violence. It's actually quite difficult to get content taken down, because people know the rules. They know how to get around the rules. And there's just enough wiggle room in those rules. So you can share something that is graphic if it's in the public interest. You can upload something that shows a violent attack as long as you're not glorifying it, that kind of thing. So again, it's kind of getting down to the heart of why it was uploaded. So whoever uploaded the video first may have had the best of intentions, wanted to draw attention to this attack. And, you know, something positive has come of that, and that, you know, people were identified, people's attention was drawn to it, and people have become absolutely outraged by it. But that video of that attack is now out there, and we are talking about a child who was the victim of this attack. And, you know, I can't imagine being the parent of a child who was subjected to such an attack, knowing that people are sharing this, and not everybody is sharing it because they believe that, you know, this was a horrible thing to have happened. Some people are sharing it with, you know, with different intentions, mm-hmm. and that would be very difficult. Now, it's very difficult, though, to get everything absolutely taken down. It's out there.
Well, when it comes to Twitter, it's particularly difficult, isn't it? And anyone who was watching the RT News last night would have seen the response from the press department, which is a poo emoji.
Yeah, that's an automatic thing. No matter what you email to that address, that will come back as that. And to be honest, it's very disrespectful, because, you know, there are genuine queries going in, as you saw, in relation to incidents such as this. And to get a response like that, you know, I mean, we now, you can see clearly, you know, where the priorities are there. Twitter, you would have had at one point a very good press department that would have responded to that. That's no longer the case. Mm-hmm. And I think even if you look at the help centre and you look at the rules around safety, I mean, it's mainly around kind of gory violence that things are banned. But there are nuances, and there, you know, the people have to take context into account. And this is what we're missing when, you know, when things are cut down to the bone, and when we're relying on automated systems, you know, context is often missed. And there are plenty of things that are on Twitter that, by their own rules, break their own community guidelines. Getting them taken down is practically impossible.
We have a new online safety commissioner's office, which has been established here. It's not fully up and running yet. They're just setting out their work. Will that make a difference once that's in place and fully functioning?
You would hope so. But look, I'm going to reserve judgment on that until it's fully up and running, because, you know, as we've seen, that the things that are put in place supposedly to help often don't do an awful lot of good. So I would be optimistic, but cautious.
Ciara, thank you very much. Ciara O'Brien there, technology and business journalist with the Irish Times. Coming up next, we're going to hear from frontline workers how street medicine is ensuring the best outcomes for marginalised patients in society. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.